Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And I have a question for all of you HR leaders out there working at small and medium companies. If I could help you get rid of those messy spreadsheets during your reporting process and show you how you could have an all-in-one people dashboard that automatically pulls all of your people data from your different HR systems into one real-time beautiful dashboard, would you be interested? I bet you would. That's why you should go to employeecycle.com. Please check out our people dashboard, learn more. You'll see how we have pre-built API connectors to the most popular HR systems that you're all using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Trinet, Zenefits, 15.5, Lever, Greenhouse, Office Vibe, you name it. We can help you pull all that data into one place. And so you become that smart, data-driven HR and people leader that's making smarter workforce decisions. Please go to employeecycle.com, check it out, learn more. And I would love to chat with you as you request a demo. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Odette Garcia. She's the HR manager at Design Interactive. And today we're going to discuss how COVID disrupted the HR playbook. Odette, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Odette, welcome!
Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. It's definitely an honor to be here today.
It's an honor to interview you. And today is your very first podcast, correct?
It is. It really is. Yes.
I am so humbled and happy and appreciate that opportunity to bring you into the podcast world.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome. So with that, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how. And that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
So my life with HR was very serendipitous. I was not expecting to be in HR at all when I was in high school. HR was not a career that I thought. And, you know, I ended up stumbling across it and I ended up falling madly in love with the career and what it stands for. So shortly after high school, I started just doing administrative duties in a company. And that company was fairly small when I first started. And I started with just picking up the phones, filing documents and everything. And slowly when the company started growing, I kind of just took the HR role. And the owner kind of took me under his wing and tried to show me everything HR. And quickly we started branching out to different locations. And before I knew it, I was in the regional HR seat. And you know, I loved it and I've never really had formal education when it came to HR. All of it was just being resourceful. It was going online and finding, you know, what happens with the laws? What happens in this instance? What happens, you know, how can I get myself to be more educated on this? So I started attending trainings and everything. And before I knew it, I was deep in the world of HR and I loved every moment of it. And before you knew it, you know, I came across Design Interactive and they took me in at first as their HR coordinator. And then I got promoted to their HR manager. And here I am and loving every moment of it.
Awesome. So Odette, today our topic is around the COVID pandemic disrupting the HR playbook. And so when anything is being disrupted and totally changed and transformed, it's important to understand where we came from to then understand the future state. So where was the HR playbook before? How could you describe what that looked like and maybe discuss some of the areas where you believe that was pretty templated?
So when it came to the HR playbook, it was just that. It was a playbook where I could turn to and I could find the answer to any questions that I had. You know, that was then. I could always, you know, reach out to other people in the industry and say, hey guys, you know, when you've experienced this, what did you do? Or I could have, you know, gone to the SHRM webpage and then said, okay, what do I do in this case? What are the templates? You know, what are other people in the industry doing? And when COVID happened, now I feel like we don't really have a book to turn to. I feel like the HR community is that playbook. So COVID is giving us that chance to rewrite the the playbook and, you know, and in some sense kind of disrupt some of the HR laws that we thought before were put into place. Like, you know, recruiting before it was very set in stone. Now, what does recruiting look like? What do our candidates look like? You know, we're no longer in a moment where candidates are saying, let me apply to everywhere. Now they're being more selective. Now they're saying, you know, what's a good culture fit? Now they have all these resources in front of them to make themselves available to all these other companies. So it's not, I want to say that the company in itself is no longer in the power position. I want to say that the power right now, all the candidates kind of hold that. And I feel like HR has slowly tried to find that. But after COVID has happened, I feel like it was just a quick jumpstart. You know, it gave candidates empowerment. It gave HR empowerment. You know, you deal with companies sometimes who are 100 to 100 employees and they don't have an HR team. And now they're finding themselves thinking, hey, maybe I do need an HR team that would help me go through this. So as far as disrupting the HR playbook, I think that it didn't only disrupt it. I think it completely just took it away. And it's giving us a great and beautiful chance to kind of really make it our own, especially in the HR community and, you know, at this day and age.
It's interesting, as we work with a lot of HR and people leaders, it's been fascinating to see the people in your role moving from this, let's call it legacy HR role, as HR leaders are saying that employees aren't resources, and moving into people operations, people and culture, chief of people and experience. How do you believe that COVID is going to shift the role moving forward? And what do you think that's going to look like?
I mean, just by looking at the open opportunities now, especially, for example, LinkedIn, you know, you have diversity and inclusion, you have diversity training, you have employee engagement, you have everything. And I think that that's going to change. It's because we're going to need more hands-on. The HR community is going to grow vastly in the next couple of months to adapt to this new normal. Why? Because, you know, now we have to focus on more things and we have to kind of zero in on this. Employee engagement now is a whole full-time job. You know, what are we doing to our employees? Before we had an office, before we had a brick and mortar, you know, location where we can go to our employees and talk to them and find out how they're feeling about work. Now, most of our employees are slammed with meetings half of the time. You know, one sends you an email, but you might not be able to get back to them within 2 hours. So the way that I see it is this is giving us such a perfect chance to grow in the HR community, to grow our roles and grow our teams. You know, one of them can take over training and development while the other one focuses on engagement, while the other one focuses on the overall day-to-days. It's, I think, great opportunities, and I'm excited to see that happen if I'm not already seeing that happen.
You mentioned earlier that there's plenty of companies out there with even hundreds of employees that didn't have an HR leader or an HR team pre-COVID, and now they're scrambling to find someone to help manage their workforce from an HR perspective. When it comes to that type of change in perception of the role, how do you believe that HR as a role or industry, if you will, is now being perceived based off of the employee needs during COVID?
I think, Bruce, this is HR's time to shine. This is a recognition we've been needing, you know, for so many years. HR was always a very important aspect, but I would want to say it would get a lot of silent recognition where, you know, we would do things and, when an HR department would be settled in a company, it would be because the CEO saw value in that. But that's a CEO that already knew about HR. You know, now what I meant by what I said was that, you know, sometimes you have those CEOs who don't think that they could go by with no HR team. They could just, you know, kind of slide by with their knowledge. And now post-COVID, they're trying to say, you know, what's going to happen to my team? You know, what does remote work look like? You know, what happens to these companies who had a micromanaging culture? How are you going to retrain your supervisors, your, you know, head of departments to no longer micromanage? And if you still want to keep that culture, how are you going to train them in doing it in a remote way? Not only that, but you're also looking at companies who are saying, oh, well, we've been remote since we started the company. Right. But have you ever had to deal with parents that now have to be also their kids' teacher? So it's all of these new things that are happening that makes HR's knowledge so valuable. How do we retain those employees? How do we make them feel motivated to log on to work or to be part of employee, you know, activities of virtual happy hours or anything like that? So HR has true value. And I feel like people are really trying, they're really starting to see it. And it makes me very excited.
So I want to go into some of the areas of the workforce that you think will stay the same during and post COVID. And then we'll talk about some of the areas that you definitely believe have changed the most. So let's start with areas of the workforce that you believe have stayed the same, if any at all, from where they were before and now during COVID.
I mean, obviously HR laws are HR laws, or, you know, employment laws are employment laws, actual laws, those are remaining the same. Obviously, that is something that we always have to adhere to. That is something that we always have to follow. But as far as how we approach our workforce and how we deal with employees and everything, I do not think that that has stayed the same in any aspect.
Awesome. All right. Well, then that was a very short segment about that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, what are two or three of the areas where you think things are going to be the most different when it comes to HR and managing the workforce?
So adapting to the virtual remote lifestyle, you know, you have companies, again, that had to be pushed out and made their companies of 50 or 100 or 200 employees, I don't know, we're virtual at a drop of a hat. So finding a way to be that flexible, because if we're being honest, it's never going to be the same. You know, nothing's going to go back to be 100% normal to what it was pre-COVID. So the way that we're trying to see it is what do we do now? What can we show as a company? What can we show, you know, what values can we hold to make candidates want to join us? You know, so employee engagement has definitely going to be severely different. You know, recruiting is going to be severely different. And not only that, but the retention of the employees with the benefits is going to be severely different. You had companies where one of their perks is working remote. What happens now when you have thousands of other job openings who are offering a full-time remote job? Does that kind of make sense?
It does. It does. So it sounds like you're saying that it will be more difficult for companies to become competitive, to get candidates to work at their company. There's no room for laziness anymore. That's what it really sounds like. You're really going to have to not only make sure you have the best employee experience possible, but also really do a good job of communicating it to the world as well. Is that right?
Yep, that's exactly what I mean. And, you know, you have companies that before, again, were in that power seat where they said, you know, we can give you a remote option. You could be remote 1 week out of the month, and that is great. And a lot of people would see that as a perk. And, you know, you have, but what is it now? What does that perk look like now after we are now a almost complete virtual remote world? So when things start changing, the other things start changing along with it. So yes, okay, now we're offering a full 100% work from home policy where you're able to work from home completely. What happens to the employees that just don't want to do that, that want to be in the office? So now you're also thinking on the other side of it. What do we do as employers, as a company, to draw not only the people that have fallen in love with this complete virtual remote world, but what do we do with the people who still want to have that traditional feel to it? You know, it's adapting your policies, being a flexible workplace. So offering employees all these benefits have to be, I want to say, they have to be revisited. They have to, companies have to really look at what they're offering, and they really have to sell themselves with the candidates out there. Candidates right now have thousands of options and thousands of companies, and they're in the power seat. Like I said before, they are going to be interviewing, and not only are they going to be trying to figure out whether they're a good fit for the company, but they're also going to be really figuring out if the company is a good fit for them.
Because so many things are changing so quickly, and every time you look up and you think that you have a plan that's working, things have changed already to make that plan outdated. Where should and where does HR need to get their information from if they can't rely on their network like they usually do? And resources out there that's trying to help HR can't keep up because things are changing so quickly?
Definitely being creative. I don't think anybody has that playbook written yet. Nobody has that set go-to place. And if anybody does out there, please let me know where it is that you guys are going. Because I don't think that anybody has gotten it 100% correct. You know, this is a new thing for everybody. Nobody has gone through a pandemic before. Nobody knows exactly what would work, what wouldn't work. So at this point, I think that our best bet is relying on each other and really reaching out to the community, making those connections, networking, and really trying to see what other people are doing. You know, trying to align what everybody else is doing with your company's current objectives. Does it match? Does it make sense for your culture? Does it make sense for your team? You know, our company, Design Interactive, we have a great Christmas party at the end of every year, but this year it can't be possible. So what are people doing now? Well, I'm reaching out to people who have been remote before and do their whole culture is remote. So what are they doing? So by talking to people like that, I came to figure out that, you know, there are services that hold improv shows or hold bartender classes or cooking classes. But that wasn't found, that I did not find that by going to a website. I found that by reaching out to my community and asking those questions. So now is the best time to go out there and network and really try to figure out what works for your company.
Interesting. So as HR is moving forward, let's speculate and look into our workforce crystal ball to, you know, play the game of what will HR look like in the future. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is new roles that actually might pop up in the HR world. Maybe there are companies that have this title, but I'm thinking, will there be a director of well-being, or will there be a, you know, mental health coordinator, or I'm just making things up now, but I'm just thinking about the areas that so many HR leaders that I've previously interviewed on this podcast have talked about, well-being and mental health and other areas around that. I can't think of others. I would hope that you can share. Maybe you've thought about some of those areas, but I'm curious, do you think that HR will start to have roles that specifically focus on those things that have become so much more important and been thrown in the spotlight more than they've been in the past?
Maybe. I mean, I hope so. It actually, that's a great question that you asked. It actually makes me really happy about that because I've always wanted, you know, to, for some reason, include mental health with the HR department. You know, a lot of people see us as, you know, the corporate psychologist. A lot of people reach out to us and say, you know what, like, we talk to you guys and we trust you guys. So it is like you guys are psychologists. And, you know, as much as I love hearing that, sometimes a one person HR team or two people HR team just doesn't have the capacity to hold all of that. So maybe there could be a mental wellness coordinator or something like that that could be added on to a company's, you know, open roles. But I would definitely say what's important is being able to align that with company objectives. What is it that, you know, that they've reached? What is it that they need to reach? Where do you want to be in a year or two? Do you want to focus on being a complete virtual remote company? If so, what does that look like right now? So as far as open roles, I definitely see them. But as far as what they would be called or what they would be needed for, that would have to be definitely for companies and themselves and really digging deep and saying, this is what we need. And we need a full-time person to handle this to be able to succeed.
And then my last question is, what do you hope is the biggest change from a positive perspective that will happen to the HR role because of COVID?
To get that HR recognition for every HR member, community, worker, coordinator, generalist, whatever it is in the HR community, you know, the HR world is very, very big. And to be in human resources, you have to love human resources. You have to love what you do. You have to be motivated by what you do, because unfortunately, if you just don't feel like that, then it's hard to get your job done every day. So I wake up every morning and I love that. I love being part of DI. I love being their HR manager. I love being in human resources. So what I'm not only hoping for us to get the recognition that, you know, all HR heroes deserve, but I'm also hoping that it draws a lot of more people to look into it. Maybe there are a lot of salespeople out there who haven't really found their calling, and maybe that's HR. So what I'm hoping is for not only HR to get recognition as what we're doing, but to also bring in more people, bring in more dreamers, bring in more people who are just really looking for that niche that feels right to them. So definitely trying to open up a whole world to the people out there and getting HR's name out there.
Odette, thank you for sharing all of your wisdom, insights, and experience, especially as I get to ask you crazy questions like, what is HR going to look like in the future? Especially when we don't even know what HR looks like today. So I appreciate you entertaining my questions as we go through this, but this is awesome. You've been a great podcast guest and you totally nailed your first podcast. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's been an honor, and it's been an honor to have my first podcast with you. You made it pretty simple.
We try to make things simple here at Employee Cycle. Oh, and by the way, I know you were talking a lot about recognition of HR, so I'll do our shameless plug that we recently launched thankyouhr.com as a way to recognize and celebrate all HR leaders for helping navigate their workforce through the challenges of 2020. So for anyone who's interested, please go to thankyouhr.com, share it with every single HR leader you know to let them know that we all care about them and are thinking of them as they help all the employees navigate through the challenges. But if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because that shows that we're providing great content. Also, if you enjoy this podcast episode and now you're hungry for more Employee Cycle episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.